This is Stephen Strang. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report podcast, the podcast that encourages you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And today I have a guest, Jeremiah Johnson. He's well known in charismatic circles. I've done several podcasts with him. I consider him a friend. And recently he's been through something of a controversy having to do with the 2020 election. We're going to talk about that and find out about a new direction that his ministry is taking. This is his first time to speak up since he decided to shut down his Jeremiah Johnson Ministries. You're going to hear why and what God has next for him and his ministry. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back and welcome to you, Jeremiah. I really appreciate you taking time to be on my podcast. I understand that I have a little bit of an exclusive interview with what's going on with you and your ministry. Why don't you bring me and my listeners up to date?
Steve, thanks so much for having me on. Yes, we have been contacted often and frequently about interviewing me about what has happened recently, and I want to just thank you for this opportunity. You know, it was several weeks ago, about four to be exact, where I really felt God be really specific with me that he was asking me to terminate, to shut down Jeremiah Johnson Ministries, which I have been really serving a particular mission for a little over a decade. And if I could kind of frame what that mission or the mandate was, I was providing prophetic commentary on various political and current events. And there were many dreams and visions that I would have, that I would minister on really a variety of subjects in the kingdom of God. And after the election and just so much news and what I viewed as a mistake that I made, I really felt God leading me to shut down the ministry. And what he had asked me to do was to really focus, to give a sole focus on what he began to speak to me about, was called the Altar Global, where he wanted me to focus on his return and the preparation of the bride unto that reality. And there were a lot of news sources and stations that picked this story up, and has been a lot of reactions. But Steve, on my end, there's been a great price, a great loss in some ways of shutting down Jeremiah Johnson Ministries, but I really consider it the kindness of God, his intervention in leading me to this new reality that I'm now running with.
Well, I want to drill down a little bit, but you know, I can understand a little bit of what you're going through. The circumstances were entirely different, but you know, for basically 30 years, my organization was called Strang Communications, and we did not shut it down, but we did change names. We rebranded as Charisma Media, and I just felt that I should take my name off the company for a variety of reasons, and so I can kind of understand this, although I know you well enough to know that this is not literally a rebranding. You just felt like the Lord was taking you in a different direction. And, you know, this whole thing about the 2020 election is something I watch very closely, of course, because I wrote not one, but two books about it. I wrote God, Trump, and the 2020 election. And then when COVID came out, I wrote a sequel, a short sequel called God, Trump, and COVID-19. And in the book, of course, I dealt with the fact that there were prophetic voices saying that Donald Trump would win. Now, I wrote God and Donald Trump in 2017 after the election to tell the story. Really, the story was, you know, could God raise up an unlikely leader like Donald Trump and show it to the prophets? I felt it was an untold story. I felt like I was writing history. It was interesting that then the prophecies came true and nobody thought it would happen. Nobody. I mean, up until the evening of election night, when the votes were coming in, and, you know, having written the book, being on national television, you know, other major media, people would go like, that's nice. I mean, there was no like, wow, maybe we ought to look at the prophetic. Oh, is God speaking? It was just, oh, it's nice. Then, and the reason I brought this up was when it didn't happen in 2020, it was like, oh, the prophets are wrong. But, you know, I've been covering the evangelical Christian charismatic community now for close to 50 years. And there are people out there just waiting for somebody to do something wrong, so they have kind of a legitimate reason to bash the prophetic or just other aspects of the spirit-filled community. They're just out there. I mean, I can give you names. And so I wasn't really surprised in a way. But I'd like to know kind of what it felt like, because, you know, you did this series called I Was Wrong. It shows a lot of humility. But you weren't the only one who was wrong. A lot of people were. And but I want to kind of know what it went through, because you're a relatively young man. This, I'm guessing this is probably the first major controversy you were ever involved with, at least on a national scale. So what is your perspective?
Yeah, Steve, that's a great question. You know, I think, you know, as my, you know, I guess first interview that I've taken since everything has happened, you know, it was extremely painful. I think that it was shocking on some levels. I felt I was doing what I knew how to do. I believed I had made a mistake. I had made an error. And so I felt I was to humble myself and confess that mistake, and felt I would, you know, in some ways be received because of it. And what I found was really the exact opposite. I received legitimate death threats from supposed Christians. I currently even...
Excuse me, you had Christians threatening to kill you? I mean, that's hard to believe.
Yes, we
aren't these anonymous usually? What is it, just to intimidate? I can't believe. I mean, it's illegal. That's the one thing that you can get the capital punishment for in America. Why would anyone, least of all a Christian, say something like that?
Yeah, we were targeted really on an unprecedented level. I mean, we had everything from life-threatening accusations to just incredible financial loss support for our ministry. I mean, to be honest with you, Steve, it felt like one day, you know, we were in everybody's favor. The next day, when I repented and said I'm sorry and tried to own something, it was like everyone came against me. So I don't consider myself a victim. I honestly feel the kindness of God. I feel God rescued me out of an arena that I felt maybe he was calling me to at that time. And from hindsight, you know, now it being the month of March, I feel God has opened up my eyes to some things. I feel God has put a fresh focus in me. Again, I feel the Lord is saying to me to shift my gaze and my attention off of political current events and really onto eternal realities. But it was painful. And up until this time, I'm still being canceled at events that I was scheduled to speak at this year. I continue to be called by pastor friends that I've been friends with for years that have said that they're choosing to distance themselves from me because of my apology. So there's been a high price to own a mistake that I believe that I made. But when I say it's shocking, I just, you know, and you mentioned I am a young guy, but I always just thought, you know, you would get this kind of controversy if maybe you sinned and you choose not to repent. But for me, owning it and choosing what I felt like was the better way to receive the kind of hate and death threats and friendships, pastors walking away, it's been difficult. But God's been with me in it and has encouraged me. But I'd be lying to say it hasn't been painful.
Well, you know, you're showing a humility which I admire. Too many Christian leaders, especially ones that have kind of built up ministries and have become well known, it's very, very difficult for them to, you know, even admit a weakness, sometimes a weakness that everybody knows. But, you know, some of this is just the fact that you're young. You've never been through it before. I think you're wise to really press into God and to find out what He's saying. Rather than just trying to do, you know, the political thing. But when people pull back from you, that doesn't mean necessarily that you're wrong. It could be that they're just lily-livered cowards and want to stay away from anything that might somehow taint them. And I've seen that again and again in the body of Christ. And also, you know, there are some people who were very, very emphatic that Trump would win. I personally think he did. I personally believe that it was stolen. But, you know, there were no prophets really that predicted that all that would happen. You know, the Bible says we see through a glass darkly. The Bible says to test all things. Prophecy, especially in the New Testament, as one of the spiritual charismatic gifts, is not speaking forth the word of the Lord in the same way that there was an office of the prophet in the Old Testament. You know, really, in the New Testament, anyone can prophesy. Any spirit-filled Christian can prophesy, not just the role of a prophet, but you know, we don't understand that. And then there are a lot of people that really, really, really wanted Trump to win. And I mean, we're even saying crazy things like, you know, the military is going to take over at the last minute and give him the election and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I personally try to stay away from people like that because I just, you know, think there's a screw loose. You know, I'm not happy that Trump lost, or I should say, I'm not happy that Trump's not president, because I don't think he really lost. But the fact is that with our system and the way things worked out with the Electoral College and the inauguration, everything else, Joe Biden is our president. You know, we have to just get over it. But, you know, what's going on in the world is a lot more than one person winning or losing an election. Even if Trump had been in until 24, he wouldn't have been in after that. And all this stuff, you know, the globalism and the threat of China and the very rapid movement toward wokeness or extreme leftism, the marginalization of Christianity, the cancel culture that really, I think, is trying to cancel Christianity in some ways. All that stuff would still be with us. It's just that, like, Trump, in my opinion, kind of slowed some of that down and sort of gave us hope. But our hope needs to be in Jesus, not a politician. So this podcast is with you. It's my interview with you. I'm sorry for talking so much, but there's just so much here that I think we need to deal with. So what is your opinion?
Yeah, you know, Steve, I don't, you know, I've told people, you know, as one of the early recognized voices in 2015 that had an encounter that recognized Trump as a Cyrus. I mean, I was one of the first ones that even took heat back then in 2015. So, I mean, I tell people I was as invested as anyone, especially on a national level, being used by the Lord to recognize His assignment in the earth. However, I do believe that there was a point in time for me personally where God began to deal with me about the focus in my life and my ministry and even the body of Christ. And at that moment, That's when I chose to humble myself, to repent, and really begin to shift into the focus with the Alter Global, where I'm heading now. But I totally believe that there's a large portion, especially in the charismatic movement, that have just got swept up in, a desire for, I hear their hearts. I know their hearts because I've been with these people. They want righteousness in America. They're concerned about the Equality Act and just things that you mentioned. I believe that those are legitimate concerns. But at the end of the day, whether it was 2020 or 2024, the only hope for America is revival. The only way that this generation is going to thrive in the midst of global crisis, I believe, is to get focused on the return of the Lord and the need to prepare for that day. So I believe personally, God rescued me out of a large swirl or a large movement that I was a part of and asked me to bow out, to shut down my ministry and to start all over again. And I'm thankful for it. It was super painful. It's a lesson and lessons that I'll take with me as a young man moving forward, but I see the hand of God in it on my end moving forward. But I do very much believe that God is still trying to rescue people out of an obsession with the next latest greatest prophetic word and what's happening, and really wants to mark a generation for eternity.
Oh, that's so well said. And I appreciate you bringing up Alter Global, talking about the return of Christ. You know, it's the eternal things that's really important. As important as our culture and society and politics and government and all those things are, you know, in 100 years and 1,000 years, it's not going to mean anything, nothing. You know, we'll be in eternity by then, obviously. And Christians either tend to be on a pendulum, one side or the other. Either all we focus on is heaven or we don't focus on heaven at all. How do you think the body of Christ is going to come into some maturity, especially as it has to do with the prophetic? Because you're right, some of the people are like really, really, really into the prophetic, and other people just ignore it or maybe are a little bit nervous about it. Why do you think is going to be the long-term result of this? Not so much for you personally, Jeremiah Johnson, but for the body of Christ.
Well, I think that there's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of discouragement in the charismatic movement, you know, concerning whether it's things that were prophesied or the recent political outcome. And again, I believe I see the hand of God in it all, sort of allowing people to experience this type of discouragement or disappointment to lead them into a realization of where our hope, our trust really must lie. You know, I think of Revelation 19:10, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. I believe there's a reset going on in the prophetic movement. There's a humbling, there's a repentance that has to take place. Almost there's a mixture. And again, Steve, I want to go on record as saying, I believe I was part of that mixture. I believe I might have got too caught up in what was happening now, and I lost my laser sharp focus on eternal reality. So I feel we're in a crossroads moment in the prophetic where God is really restoring the testimony of his son Jesus in the earth, and he's beckoning, he's calling his people to pure and simple hearted devotion. And he's looking for voices that are going to point to Christ and anchor a generation in who he really is. Because as you've said, there's going to come political highs and lows. There's going to be continued issues in our nation that unless we turn to the Lord with all our minds, all our hearts, all our souls, we're just setting ourselves up for more and more chaos and confusion. So I just want to say to anyone listening today that has been caught up or in this whole election cycle, maybe you're disappointed, you're frustrated with prophets or what's been prophesied. I'm with you. I'm disappointed myself. I've repented, I've humbled myself, and now moving forward, Steve, I'm just choosing to focus on Christ, the need to get ready, the harvest of souls that we desperately need in America and the nations. He in the secret place, ever since I walked away and shut everything down, he's been encouraging me. He's been strengthening me and really readying me for the days ahead. So I want to call anyone that's sensing a similar thing, to come with us, to join us moving forward.
Well, I want you to know that as much as I can, I'm behind you. I'm supporting you. You didn't ask me to say or not say anything, but I think that I admire your humility. I told you privately that I think there's a difference between missing it and being wrong. As I referred to earlier, just about all the prophetic ministries predicted a Trump victory. Now, it may have been because Kim Clement and a few other people, you know, even back in 07, 08, were predicting someone that sure did sound like Donald Trump, didn't mention him by name. Although I think that Kim Clement said that God was going to raise up a trumpet or something, because of Trump's name, you kind of make it think that. And then, there's a whole bunch of people in 2015 and 16 who, said that God was raising up Trump like Osiris, like you did. And you're right. People do get all excited. You know, I wrote a book about it, as I said. I felt I was writing history. In our culture, God's plans and God's hands on what happens is barely recognized, even by a lot of people in the church, and certainly not by the secular culture. And I wanted to kind of interject that into the national discussion, and I did. The Lord opened doors, and I did. But I don't know that it made a big difference. I expected to be attacked more than I was. People would kind of listen, like, well, maybe there's something to it. We're not sure. I expected to be attacked a lot more. Well, I haven't really been attacked at all. I've gotten one or two emails of people saying, what are you going to do now? But also, I wasn't a prophetic voice myself. I was, using Charisma Media and the other media that we have, reporting on what was being said. I did play it down less in my more recent book. I didn't emphasize it quite like I did in God and Donald Trump. And also, I had a chapter in that book on why Trump might lose. It was not a prophecy. It was more like an analysis. But in looking at it in hindsight, especially with the election fraud and some other things, it sounds a bit prophetic. It's just that as a journalist, I know that you need to at least acknowledge, different points of view and different things that would happen. So, we probably need to leave it there. But before we close, I want you to tell people how they can connect with Jeremiah Johnson and your new Altar Global Ministry. And then I want to give you the last word.
Thanks so much, Steve. If folks are listening, are interested in what we're doing, they can go to www.thealtarglobal.com. They can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at The Altar Global.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you to my listeners for tuning in. Be sure to share this podcast with others. Also, on any of the platforms, you can subscribe so you're getting it every day. And if you're interested in any of the books that we talked about, you can go to stevestrangbooks.com and you can get autographed copies at a special price. So that's just a service to you. And remember to tune in again tomorrow for another episode of The Strang Report, the podcast to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.